I think it's a good thing. You are, when you come into church, you ought to be ready to worship. You ought to be ready to be used. You ought to be hoping that somebody call you to ask you to do something. If it's just to pray or read scripture or to respond to reading, you ought to be excited. You ought not to have your lips poked out like you got a lemon in your pocket. God is good. He's been good this week. Amen. I know I can speak for myself. He's been good to me. I've had a good week. Not only because good things have happened, a lot of good things haven't happened. I've had a good week. Because I know what to expect while I'm on this side. I know what this side has to offer. And I know it gets better. I have that lively hope we talk about. Amen.
Amen.
First Peter. Amen. Chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And we want to talk about an appraisal. Appraisal of our faith. We want an assessment, a review it. See, we got the right stuff. You know, you say you're on the road to heaven and you don't have the right stuff.
Amen.
Peter wants us to have the right stuff.
Yes, sir.
Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6.
Amen.
Peter says, wherein ye rejoice, you greatly rejoice. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. So now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the fire, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for refining us and trying us and testing us and having so much love for us that you want us to be purified. When we stand before you, continue to work on us, Father God. Continue to give us strength as we face manifold temptations, as we face the evil of this world, as we face the obstacles that are thrown at us. Father God, give us strength to hurdle over things. Give us the strength to stay the course. Give us the strength to press toward the mark of the high call of God. And when all hell break out in our life, Father God, give us the power and the wisdom and the knowledge to know that it's just for a season. Let us know, Father God, through that lively hope that it gets better. And we're only here for a short time. And we're strangers here. Pilgrims. Just passing through. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Peter, we've gone through Peter. We're in verse number 6 today. This is part 3 of our series on the doctrine of encouragement. Peter's speaking to saved people, saved folks. Folks that know the Lord, folks that have been born again, folks that have a lively hope, folks that have this abundant
mercy, that have been born again. Folks that have been born again. Something supernatural has happened to them. They have a new nature. The Word of God says, if you've been saved, you have a new nature. Therefore, if what? Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Peter's talking to that type of folk. Verse number 6. He says, wherein ye rejoice greatly, or you greatly rejoice. Now that catches me. Because they're under persecution, severe persecution. Persecution that Christians in America have yet to face. They're going through. Some of us say, I'm going through. Oh, I'm going through. Oh, I'm in a world of trouble and it's heavy on me. You're right where God wants you to be. If you're a child of God. And while you're going through, you ought to be able to greatly rejoice. Somebody say, just rejoice. No, we ought to greatly rejoice in our trials. And somebody will just tap their head and say, now that doesn't sound right. Because we haven't been taught how to deal with trials. We caught up in this Christianity the other day on how to deal with success. And when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Well, that's not what the Bible teach. The Bible don't teach that the strangers living in exile. The Word of God said when the praises go up, all hell may come down. We don't like to sing that. This is why then when we, as Christians, when we go through, we don't know how to handle it because I'm a Christian, everything's supposed to be wonderful. That's not biblical. Here's Peter teaching the people of God. He's saying, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now a season, for a season. What's he talking about? See, we have an appointment with trials. Peter knew that because Jesus taught him that. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Satan wanted to destroy Peter before Peter even got started. Because Satan knew that God had great plans for Peter. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 3. He says to the Thessalonians, he said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Why? Why would Paul say that? He says, for yourselves know that ye were appointed unto them. That's interesting. See, as a believer living in an evil world, you trying to live right, you trying to live for the Lord, you will have an appointment with afflictions. If we're following Christ, and Isaiah says that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. If you follow that type of person, you're going to share his sorrows. You're going to share his griefs. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, greatest sermon ever preached, wasn't on prosperity, wasn't on miracles, and wasn't on miraculous healings. Kind of caught them off guard, but they wasn't expecting it. He says this in Matthew 5:12. Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We're called to trials. James, in the great book of James, I really just love this verse here. We've heard it so many times, and on Wednesday night we studied through the book of James. And James is speaking to the strangers again. He's speaking to the 12 tribes that were scattered too. He says this in verse number 2 of James 1. He says, my brethren, you see that? I mean, folks that have been born again. Born again, folks going to suffer. Born again, folks going to suffer persecution. Going to be rejected. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That word temptations mean evil. Evil. Jesus was tempted, taken out into the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, and he survived the temptations of Satan. See, all God's children, including Christ, will be tempted. Okay? Now, he's only had one sinless son, but all his sons have been tempted. He says this, my brother, count it our joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, Kiki sang the song, I listened to it, to do a testimony, that the trying of your faith work in patience. God don't have no children that he don't discipline and test and try. Nobody gets to heaven without going through the fire. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, this is personal, worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You got a problem with that. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, if you lack wisdom, you're in a situation where you don't know how to deal with it. You're in a place where you don't know how you're going to get out. You're in a situation. He says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How we ask of God, preacher? You open up God's word. And you may want to go to the wisdom book. You may want to go to Proverbs and just read through it. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That give it to all men, how? Liberally. We are pointed to it. James says that we ought to count it all joy. If you're a saint in here and you're a Christian in here, you ain't going through nothing, you need to pinch yourself. Make sure you got what you say you have. I know some folks are, I'm just too blessed to be stressed. Too anointed to be disappointed. You may be too saved. I don't even know if that's possible. You got it going on like that. You don't have no trials, no tribulations. Listen, you're going to have them. When you go through them, I don't want to hear it. Not none of this, you know, why me? Woe is me. Oh, no, no, no. None of this why me stuff. You're going through. You're going through. But you ought to rejoice if you have a Savior. If you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you ought to rejoice. Because that's what He came here for. He came here so that we could rejoice. I like Luke 2 and 10. It says this. And the angel said unto them, the shepherds, fear not. For behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. The believer will rejoice in trials. The believer will rejoice in trials. If you truly know the Lord. Once you get an understanding of this. Sister Wallace, you ought to be rejoicing in your trials. Sister Pinky, don't let your trials stop you from smiling and laughing and enjoying your peoples. Deacon Oliver, Sister Dunleavy, learn to rejoice in your trials. That's a confirmation. Paul had to learn this lesson. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's Paul learning this lesson. Because he might have tuned into one of them prosperity sermons. And he went to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, take this thing away. Paul learned to rejoice in his trials. Watch this in verse 7. Unless I should be exalted upon measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me the great apostle Paul. I wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Spoken more tongues than any of you. Shipwrecked. I was all that. Set at the feet of Gamaliel. I was the greatest teacher of that time. I was a wonderful, wonderful person. But there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Satan may be buffeting some of us. And I put the emphasis on us. And then I'll take you to my favorite movie of all time, The Wizard of Oz. See, some of us like that hot air balloon. It's weighed down, and they take the weight off of it. It just flowed away. See, some of our messengers, they say, will give us, will hold us down. So we won't get too high and mighty, too haughty. Some of us dealing with some stuff.
Amen.
Deal with it like Paul did. Paul said this, for this thing, I besought of the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. Paul wanted to be free. No illnesses, no pains, no sorrows, nothing. He wanted to be just healthy as can be, physically and mentally. God answered Paul. Paul was answered. And you will be answered too if you listen. And he said unto me, and Paul, that's Paul's prayer to the Lord, that you remove this thing. And here's his answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, Pastor, explain that. I sure hope I can. In weakness, you will depend on the Lord. In strength and wealth and prosperity, you will depend on your wealth. In hard times, you will learn to depend on the Lord. Let Paul explain it. Jesus answered him. God answered him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul didn't give the Lord no back talk, no lip. No. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God of Christ may rest upon me. Come on, Paul. Therefore, I take pleasure. Y'all listen to me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Infirmities, illnesses and sicknesses and ill health, reproaches when folks blame you and criticize you. Jeremy, they're going to criticize you. They're going to blame you. They're going to rebuke you. In necessities. You don't know where your next meal is going to come from. Who are you going to depend on? The Lord. And you can say like David, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. Some of us in here have never been hungry. In persecutions. Harassment and bullying and stalking. You're going to get all that as a believer. In distress, pain and suffering. Paul said, I learned to rejoice in that. Have you? Have you learned to rejoice in suffering? And I'm not talking about laughing at it. But understanding this. When you read 1 Peter, understanding this, he says in verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice through, though for a season. It's only going to last a little while. And if it lasts all your life, that's still just a little while. That makes sense.
Amen.
I hope that's making sense. He said, though for a season, a time, and if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It says, if need be. What are you saying? You know what? God knows what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us need some persecution.
Yes,
some of us need an illness. Sometimes when you're getting too high and mighty, you're getting away from the Lord and your worship ain't what it should be, sometimes God will touch that body.
Yeah.
Let you know who's in control. God disciplines his children. If you're a child of God, he's going to discipline you. And if you run around here undisciplined, you got an undisciplined life. You're doing what you want to do. You're not taking things to the Lord in prayer. You're not taking your decisions to the Lord in prayer. Then you're probably not one of his. You're doing what you want to do. Those are signs of that you may be a child of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what Paul says here, or the writer of Hebrews. He said, if you endure chastening, discipline, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Psalms 119:67. Think about this. Think about this where you're at now. Here's David. David says this. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Let me say that again. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Now, look at verse 71. Same verse. Same verse. Same chapter. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. How many can say that? How many can say it was good for me that I've been afflicted? I thought about that. You know what? When Vernon got to sing Amazing Grace, I was down there when they cut him open. He understands that song a whole lot better now than he did a couple years ago. It was good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes, learn thy ways. God disciplines his children. Don't try to avoid the discipline. It's good for you. It's good for you. Look what he says in verse number 7. We move in. That the trial of your faith. How many's faith can be stand to be put on trial? Oh, this guy always tells the story. Says somebody came to your job, somebody came to your neighborhood, somebody came to your apartment complex, and says, and they had you in handcuffs, and they were going to arrest you, and they said, we're charging you with being a Christian. Would they have enough evidence to indict you? If they went to your school, Bobby and Ray and Glorice and Adam and Keelan. I'll leave you out of this, Josh. If they went to your school, well, you know, I go to church and I'm a Christian. Would your classmates have enough evidence of you being a Christian to have you charged with? Or your friends say, you must take the cuffs off him. You charge him with a Christian, being a Christian, there is no way them charges are going to stick. Matter of fact, he's going to sue you for just false accusing, whatever. False arrest. Get them cuffs off him. He ain't no Christian. I done heard them in the child hall. I done seen them in the gym. I done watched them in the classroom. Set them free. I always get the kids in there. They need it. Listen. God must test our faith. Let me say that again. God must test our faith. Why? Because you have to have your faith tested. You cannot get into heaven without having your faith tested. Come on now. Listen. No car comes off the assembly line without going through final process. Okay? No car comes off the assembly line without going through final process. And you work at an auto plant, they got what they call final process, and those cars are tested. You hear the engines revving up. They check the fluids. They check the brakes. They check the belts, the wipers. They didn't check the ignition switches. They check the clamps, the light. They check everything. And then they stick it. And if it don't pass, they send it back. And they have some mechanics come and work on it. You know, we have to go through the final process. See, we have to get ready. See, you have to be ready to go to heaven. See, some of us are more prepared for a weekend getaway than going away for eternity. Ooh. Think about that. You know, we go on a weekend getaway. Me and Cindy ain't been on one in a while. I know what she's thinking. Get your toothbrush. Get your shower gel. Got to have a curling iron. Cindy ain't going to leave without a curling iron. Got your medications. Oh, God forbid you forget your phone charger. Oh, that just ruined the whole trip. Because you got to go to Walmart and buy one. But we prepare. We prepare for that weekend getaway. But how prepared are we for life in eternity? Oh, that's what's got to come across the pulpit. And if that's not being preached, then you need to just get up and go. You know, you got to get ready to meet the Lord. Listen. About these trials. Trials don't give you faith. Y'all hear me? Going through a trial won't give you faith. Going through a trial will reveal your faith. It'll let you know what you have when you go through a trial. I remember a pastor, and we was talking, and his son died. Matter of fact, his son was killed. And he said, I quit the ministry for 3 years. That just sit right with me. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't have been mournful. Okay? I'm saying that. It's a trial. And that trial reveals something. Because we got to move on. Those things is coming. And some of y'all been through it. I know I have. Haven't lost a child. But I lost some folks that are real dear to me. And we say it all the time. You know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy coming in the morning. And you better get ready for your trial, because it's coming. Amen. You got a trial coming. Yes, sir. And don't let nobody sit here and tell you don't. You got a trial coming, because one day you're going to get a phone call. You're going to get a text. And you better be ready. You have to be ready. Because you have to go on. Especially as people of God. This is what Peter is saying. That though heaviness, they've been going through something. They've watched Nero kill some of their loved ones and their friends and their family members and fellow believers. But Peter is saying, don't quit. Because if that person knows the Lord, then you can press on, because that person is going to wave you in. That person is going to be standing there saying, good to see you. Because I don't care if somebody died 20 and somebody died 80. We ain't but a minute in God's time. Somebody gonna be next in here. Somebody gonna, I mean, this crowd here. Somebody gonna be next. And don't just look at the old folks.
Amen.
See, everybody think about, look at the oldest person in here. Don't have to be the oldest person in here to go next. But we need to be ready to go. We need to be ready to go. Where do these trials come from, Pastor? Where do these trials come from? Oh, some come from heaven. Some come from the earth. Some come from Satan. They're coming. They're all around us. Listen to this. Let me tell you where they come from. Matthew 7:24. Be good to turn there. We're going to be there for just a second. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, check your foundation. See, some of us have been going to church a long time. Foundation is bad. Trials don't let up. Trials don't let up as you get older. I hope some of y'all, I know some of y'all, this is why I love to see our older folks come in. Y'all need to sit back and talk to them. I try to keep them here as long as I can, you know. I want y'all to share with them. It don't get easier as you get older. See, that's what the false teachers are trying to teach you. No, it don't get easier as you get older. Sister Piggy, you understand what I'm saying? It don't get easier as you get older. It gets harder as you get older.
Amen.
It gets harder as you get older. This is why it's important that your foundation be on a rock.
Amen.
Because the rain is going to come. It said the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. What's that rock? That rock is Jesus. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and do them not shall be like a foolish man or woman which built his house upon the sand. Didn't need no heavy duty equipment coming in. You can go over there and build your house in Ocean City real quick. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell and great was the fall. Ain't nothing like a great fall. I'm watching some of these folks' houses built on sand and the adversity strikes them and they fall apart. They fall apart. They turn into a recluse. They won't eat. You got to watch them. They got to be on suicide watch. Constant watch. They'll stop taking their medication. They can't sleep. Listen. God's people aren't supposed to be like that.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. The Word of God said we are not born like the unsaved. I hope you all hear me. I'm not sitting here. I'm not trying to be cruel or harsh. I'm just trying to say if you're ready or not. Because you're going to lose some things.
Yeah.
You're going to lose some things. You're going to lose some Bibles. And there's some valuable people going to leave you. I remember having a good friend when I was young and working in Austin Town at the nursing home. And I was 15 years old. I didn't have a car. And I worked for the summer. And I had a good friend. She worked out there. She was in her 50s. And I would tell her. I said, can I get a ride to work? She said, sure. She lived in the projects. I said, well, what time are you going to pick me up? She said, I'm not picking you up. I don't pick up men. She said, you're going to walk to my house, and I'm going to drive you from the projects to Austin Town.
Amen.
And I walked from Alameda on the north side of Youngstown all the way to the projects, and Della Fordham took me to work every day. That was my buddy, and I loved her dearly.
Yeah.
And then one morning, I arrived at her house, and everybody was there, and everybody was mourning and crying. Della had a massive heart attack and died. She was the closest person to me at that time. I knew she was like a mother to me. But I know Della talked to me all the way to that nursing home and back about the things of God. She talked. And she talked to me. And I knew she wouldn't want me to mourn and discontinue. And I think about that all the time. Are you ready for the trials that are going to come? Have to come. And they don't let up. They don't let up. Listen. The rain. The rain represents the trials that's going to come from heaven. You know, if you stand by this word, you're going to catch it. And that's what it represents. If you stand by this word, look at 2 Timothy 2:12. You don't have to. Just write it. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. We're going to suffer as Christians. I don't know. I know y'all want me to preach some happy messages, but I don't know. I don't know where these guys get this stuff.
Amen.
This is joyful as it gets.
Amen.
Look at 2 Timothy 3:12. And I like to teach this stuff because before you walk down the aisle and join a church and say that you're saved, you ought to know you just signed up for the suffering business.
Amen.
It's going to cost you something. And then you can join the church and say you're a Christian and nothing about your life changes. Not all your friends remain the same and you still go to the same place and do the same thing. Then nothing has happened. And I'm not saying you ought to put a big sign out there, I'm a Christian, now leave me alone. Yay. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yay. And all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is the rain that's coming down.
Amen.
For you being a Christian. Here's Acts 14:22. Confirm the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can you handle one more? 1 Peter 3:14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. It's coming. It's coming. Stand on the word of God. Stand on the word of God. You got a church where a lot of folks like to drink. Proverbs 20 and 1, a lot of preachers won't even touch it.
Amen.
Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived, therefore it is not wise.
Amen.
I don't know if they named Budweiser after that verse. But you're not wiser the more you drink.
Amen.
I heard the old country preacher, they ought to call it Bud Stupid. The rain. How about the second one? Where it says the floods. It said the floods came. Floods come from the earth. Floods come from the things that we touch and the things that we are involved in. The earthly, fleshly, personal decisions and choices that we've made can cause us problems. Anybody ever been in a relationship that feel like you've been involved in an earthquake? Like the ground just split. How did I get into this mess? These are the decisions we make. So many of us, you know, are still paying for decisions we made when we was teenagers. Some of us are still paying child support for decisions that we've made. I watch the inmates out of prison and they take child support out of their little $17 a month. If you got five kids, you go to prison, you get $9 a month. DUIs. Enter into abusive relationships. Family and children and spouses and parents. All these are the floods. And when these folks start impacting your life, they can take you under. If you're not built on a rock. If you're not on a solid foundation, when that husband or that wife gets sick, they may take you under. If you're not on the rock.
Amen.
The death of a parent or a loved one. These are stressful times. Many times, one spouse will die, then next the other one will die. Sometimes, you know, a couple been together 50, 60 years, one of them died, the other one stopped taking their medication. It's a form of suicide. This is why you want to make sure your loved ones, and I commend Claire. She went out like a true yoke fellow and just talked to her loved ones about the things of God. You need to be saved. You need to know the Lord. You need to find you a church. It don't have to be this church. Find you a church where the Word of God is being preached and join it and get involved in ministry, because this thing is coming to a close. This thing is coming to a close. We got St. Patrick's Day coming up this week. The DUI, they're on the news every day. Folks, they're just telling you they're going to be out there checking and pulling everybody over. And here you come running down the street with all green on. Be like that commercial where the guy, the cop, opened the door and just everything pour out. Those are the earthly decisions that we make. Okay, you're making a decision to get behind the wheel. You can have 15 beers. And one sign says over there, we're coming down the road, you just blew $10,000. DUI cost you about $10,000. That'll take you under. You lose your license. Some of us can't afford to lose our license. Floods. How about the wind? The wind is the unknown factor. These are satanic forces that blow around us, that God allows us to touch us. The gas line explodes in New York. How about that? City block just gone. Somebody run a red light and cause you great pain and misery. Or maybe you were one of those people who would have bought a Chevy Cobalt with a bad ignition switch. Sylvia. Now the number is all the way up to 303 that possibly have died. And this is an unknown thing. You have no control over that. You didn't know the switch was bad. You just bought your car. You were trying to be, you're trying to stay American made, by the American made car, and now you one of the 303. How you doing with all this? I like this last part. In the trial of your faith, verse 7. Being more precious than gold. Now gold was one of the first metals that ever was rediscovered. And then you cannot destroy gold. You can put it in a fire and it's going to burn all the dross off. It's going to be more valuable when it come out of the fire than it was when it went in. But Peter is saying this, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Gold's going to perish. Even though it's valuable, even though it is of the greatest wealth. When it's all done, it's going to be here. It's not going to heaven. All the streets, they say, are paved with gold. But it won't be the gold of this earth. Then he says in the second part. And he said, though it be tried with fire. See, you're going to be tried. And this is the point of the whole message. You will be tried. Your faith will be tested. It's going to test your relationships, your marriage, your relationship with your children. Everything about you as a child of God will be tested. They said, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of God. What Peter is saying, that even though gold is precious, it's not as precious as your faith. It's not as precious as your faith. Because, listen, your faith, the faith you have in Christ, will live forever. Will live forever. It will not perish. If you have the right stuff, if you build up on the rock and you have the right stuff and you understand that you're going to be tried and tested, your faith will last forever. Amen. And we can't be sitting here in fear, worried about this life, because it's just a passing thing. It's just a passing thing. Verse number 8 is really so good. It's going verse by verse. Whom, having not seen, you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, when God saves us, the person who's truly saved and really understands what God has delivered us from has that kind of joy. It's unspeakable. It's unchanging. Nothing's going to change it. You may go through, but nothing's going to change it. And that word unspeakable, it means you can't even utter the greatness and the wonder of what has happened to you when you were born again. Because you understood that you were on your way to hell. And now God has touched you. He saved you. He's given you the power to be born again. And then you've received that. And you know that when this life is over, it's going to be over. Okay, it don't matter. Some of you 70, 80, 90, you might be 100. You're getting out of here. Okay? And if you really truly know the Lord, you got a joy. Unspeakable. Look at Paul. I keep quoting Paul, but Paul seen this thing. Paul seen what a glimpse. He just got a glimpse of what joy we're going to have. And he said it was unspeakable. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. Paul, here's Paul in verse 1. And he said Paul could boast of wonderful visions and revelation. But really, the scripture just explains itself in verse number 1. Paul, here it is. It says, this is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. He said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Then he says this. Talking about himself. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. We had that unspeakable joy. And you know what? And I look around and I see saved folks that's supposed to be full of joy. And the one Irish preacher said, you walk into the average church with a gallon of milk, you leave with a quart of ice cream. It was that cold in there. I just wonder, when I look at these scriptures, and I think about this great faith, I'd be remiss if I didn't cover some of this. I just think about some of these great warriors of faith. Look at that. Hebrews chapter 11. It's a faith chapter. And these folks had great faith. And God called them to do the impossible. Cindy and I had this conversation all the time. God wanted us to do the impossible. God's not going to call you to do something you can do on your own strength. He says, no. God's not going to call you and say, do this on your own strength. And I look at Vernon and Paula with their young child at their advanced age. They can't raise that child on their own strength. They know they need the Lord. If they're going to take care of that baby properly, they know they look at each other. I know they look at each other and say, I can't do this. We can't do this. But with God, all things are possible. And that baby happy. He said, by faith, 11:4, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Noah, I like this one, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that word means reverence, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out of the place where he should, after receiving inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. That's faith. That's faith. I'm moving. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Isaac, born of his wife of 90 plus years. And God said, offer him up. And he was obedient. And little Isaac said, Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb, Daddy? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Here's his good one. 23, by faith. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Come on, obedience. Obedience. See, obedience and faith go together. By faith, Moses, when he was come to a year, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the heart of Rahab perished not with them that believed not. You can go on and on and on. How's your faith? How's your faith? Verse number 9 of Peter, 1 Peter sort of sums it up. This is what happens. This is the end of it. By faith. Verse number 9. Receiving the end of your faith. Even the salvation of your soul. That's the end of faith. Salvation. You can be confident that God will not leave you in the grave. This is what David is talking about in Psalm 16:11. He said, "Thou will show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore." What David is saying, listen, I have total confidence that God is not going to leave me in the grave. And because he had that confidence, he could have joy even when he was in the wilderness. Even when he was being tracked down and hunted, David still had great joy. Great joy. Great joy. How's your joy? How's your joy today? How's your faith today? One more scripture. I'm going to close. I say, yeah, I hear you, brother. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:1. I like this one. He said, "For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." And this soul that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Naked. The Bible says our people perish. Hosea 4:6. See, our people perish. They go naked. They're not clothed. Our people perish. Why? For lack of knowledge. Knowledge is king. So, we have an appointment with trials. God is no respecter of persons. Trials will increase as we age. Talk to some of our aged members. All faith must be tested. Remember, you're on the assembly line. Think about that. Before you can go out in the showroom, you got to go through the final process. Well, the different thing about Christianity, there's no recall. We're not dealing with a Toyota or Honda or GM. There's no recall. Knowing that your faith will be tested, it's not too late to get off that old foundation and get on a new foundation. The rock of Jesus. The rock of Jesus. Father, thank you for the word of God today. Thank you for the